This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Road's Rewind.
I think now I can welcome into our show a gentleman who's been around a couple demonstrations in his life. I don't mean to get into age here with you, Sheriff, but weren't you around when they inaugurated Eisenhower? Were you there for that parade?
No.
Sheriff Alfonso Williams from Burke County is here in studio with us. And how many years in law enforcement, Sheriff?
This is my 30th year. So started at 19.
Have you ever seen anything like we've seen in the last week?
I have not. I have not in 30 years been exposed, and I've taught for probably 27 of my 30 years at a police academy. I was police academy director and instructor, and I have never seen anything so sinister as that video. It is very hurtful. It's traumatic. It sets us back 40 years, and we're going to all face repercussions because of it.
By the way, the sheriff looks great today. I'm wearing the same T-shirt that I wore out to the demonstration. I walked in with my straw hat on. I was dressed to be out in the sunshine. You were you pleasantly surprised when Augusta went against the standard conventional thought? We had horrific violence in Atlanta, 120 miles down the road. You had problems in Columbia. You had horrific problems in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We had problems in Charleston. A couple of friends of mine that work for the TV station down there got hit in the head with rocks while they were doing live shots. Augusta, I don't know why we were blessed. I'm not sure what happened. What do you think was the difference?
I think the difference is you have to realize that people are hurt. They're angry. They've been singing about this. They've been chanting about this. They've been marching about this. They've been rapping about this. And if you don't give them some medium to exercise their frustrations and their First Amendment rights, and I think if we become too bureaucratic with permits and you got to do this and you got to do that, you're going to have an out of control situation. And I think that the leaders here in Augusta showed up and they set boundaries and they pulled the leaders aside and they established those boundaries. And I think folks are willing to stay within those boundaries if you're willing to work with them.
Well, in Augusta, again, it all kind of came together at the last minute Saturday, the initial march down Wrightsboro Road.
Right.
And again, very pleasantly surprised everything went fine. Sunday, they knew kind of what to expect. And again, showing up at Hooters, there was one incident that I'll get into a little bit later involving some young men who showed up with Trump flags. And by the way, I was having a conversation with somebody very dear to me about the appropriateness of what was going on. And she made the point, well, those guys are just expressing their political opinion. And I made the point to her, if you and I are in Cleveland, I don't show up at a Cleveland church service wearing my Steeler stuff. That's just bad. That's a bad idea. That's rude and it's inconsiderate. And, you know, if people had been showing up with Biden flags, then maybe everybody show up. But yesterday was not a political rally. It shouldn't have been anyway. And, you know, I am not going to ever say that someone should not be allowed to fly a Trump flag, a Biden flag, whatever kind of flag they want to. But you got to use some common sense. You've got to use it. You may have the right to walk down the street when there are a couple of vicious dogs standing on the sidewalk, but you're pretty stupid to challenge them, no matter what the law says about what your right is.
I'd agree with you there.
So when things came about Saturday, and they worked with the blessing of the Sheriff's Department, I'm told Sheriff Roundtree accompanied them. You had an event out in Waynesboro, didn't you?
We had a situation in Waynesboro that could have become volatile. We had a person post a Facebook post indicating that they were going to come to Waynesboro at 4 o'clock on Saturday, and they named specific places they were going to visit and riot, and that if need
they
be—
They used the word riot?
Yes, and that they would burn the police station if they needed to, and that they would burn the courthouse if they needed to, and it created quite a stir.
Well, now, that's illegal. I mean, just saying that online is illegal.
Yes, and so we're working on it, but we were able to make 4 or 5 phone calls and get to the person who we believed to be responsible. She denied being the original author, but said she shared it. And we got on the phone with her and made it very clear, we'll march along with you. We'll bring water.
I was going to say, Sheriff's Department catered the event.
Yeah, well, we told her that we would. We'll bring water. We'll bring Gatorade. We'll bring pizza. We'll march along with you. But we're not going to tolerate any lawlessness, and made that very clear. And I think we deflated her and diffused the situation. And thank God we didn't have any incidences. But we had to call in a ton of people, and we were prepared. We're still prepared. We're on standby, not only for Burke County, but we're going to help our neighbors in Jefferson and Jenkins and anybody else who calls us. So we're ready to go, and we want folks to exercise their First Amendment rights, but we're going to do it peaceably and respectfully.
Did you happen to be around a TV Friday night and see what was going on in Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
I cannot believe they ever allowed something like that to get that close to the White House. That blew me away. I know a little bit of something about the Secret Service and how they operate, and they've always been way more cautious than not. I mean, if the president's coming anywhere near you and you're going to be within three rooms of him, they have to run your social security number and all this kind of stuff. There were people within, I hate to use this language, but it is what it is. There were people within a rifle shot or an RPG shot from the White House front door. And they all had hatred in their heart, and they all had violence in their blood. And a number of officers got hurt. You saw them continually pushing the line. Obviously, it was a mistake for that to ever have occurred. What goes on in the mind of a tactical officer, a person in charge of a situation like that, that ever decides, you know what, we're just going to stand here and take it. We're not going to even start isolating people. I think, you know, if the message had gone down, you've got 2 minutes to disperse, or we're going to start taking you in and you'll be charged with a federal crime. They never said that. Why didn't that happen?
I think, Austin, there are a number of things going on there. One is the tactical guy's always ready. He's always ready to take them down. He's ready to jump into action. It's the leadership who says, we don't want to be on CNN. We don't want this to turn into some national crises. And oftentimes they're outnumbered. And you have to decide, am I going to let this police car burn and we'll just replace it? Or am I going to go grab four or five folks and then put more officers at risk? And you have to decide benefits versus risks. And unfortunately, politics plays a large role. As a sheriff, I'm not going to tolerate lawlessness. But I don't want some 22-year-old police officer saying, I told him to move twice and he didn't move as fast as I wanted him to. And then he puts 20 officers at risk because his ego gets in the way. So those are some of the nuances that play into these situations. And it's very unfortunate. You would think one would just be able to, as a police officer, say, I want this done, and it gets done. But when you're outnumbered, it's almost like working in a jail. A jailer, an officer working in the jail setting, who may be in charge of 100 inmates, he knows he's outnumbered. And so he uses his mind, his brain, to make them all behave because he knows he's outnumbered. And when you're in a riotous situation like this, I can remember preparing for the G8 summit when I worked for the district attorney's office as an investigator. We were going down to St. Simon's, I believe it was, and we went to Atlanta and we got in these groups of five, and we practiced how to go in and get the loudmouth or get the guy that was stirring up the trouble and pull him out and pass him back to the folks behind us. And we even practiced, when I worked here in Columbia County back in 2000, riot control. You just have to choose your battles, and you have to choose them carefully. And you have to decide what's most important, officers' lives or piece of property.
I'm with you in the event of a park setting or even a couple of police cars, but the White House, for God's sake. Well, and by the way, poor President Trump, damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. He gets sent to the bunker at the Secret Service order, and his political detractors call him a coward for that. I mean, Lord in heaven, yeah. should he have made an appearance and gotten 25 officers killed?
Certainly not. He needed to follow the instructions of the Secret Service and get down to the bunker, and perhaps it's the house of the people, but not for those folks who are violating the law. He went where he needed to go. They knew that they needed to have some mitigation there. You got to allow some protesting, but you can't allow them to break the rules. And I think that it probably did get far, much farther than it should have, especially with it being the White House. But it's almost like being in a hostage situation. If at the end of the day nobody's hurt, then it turned out okay, even if you made a few mistakes. And so
the problem is this thing, every night it's something new. And I don't understand at what point the governors, and you know, Trump gotten in trouble a little bit this afternoon because he's very forcefully called them out for lack of action. I think if you're the governor of the state of New York, you say, here's the order. If we see you on the street after 8 o'clock at night, we're going to arrest 1,000 people. You're going to be one of the 1,000. And by the way, I'll personally guarantee you'll be going to jail. We're 1,000 people. So you're going to be one of the 1,000? And we may stop at 1,000. We may not. But we're getting the bunks ready. Here's pictures of the jail cells. 1,000 people going to jail. And by the way, any of you people with priors, any of you people that have, you know, issues with law enforcement, get ready because it's fixing to show up again on your record.
But if you back yourself in a corner like that and they know that you don't have that kind of manpower, they know that we're in a COVID-19 situation. You don't want to introduce all these new people into the jail. They know that you don't have the wherewithal to do it. You don't have the manpower to do it. You don't have the infrastructure.
I think New York could do 1,000, just like Burke County could do 20. You know, if you were to say, hey, you know what? You show up like that, first 20 of you would put your hands on, you're going. And I think 90% of the folks would stay home then.
I think there's probably a better way to do that, and that's through some kind of mitigation. And I think you try to diffuse it. My mother used to always say, when people are mean to you, feed them bread. And so my leadership team probably thought I was crazy on Saturday when I said, if we have some protesters, we're going to block off some streets for them. We're going to march with them. We're going to buy pizza and Gatorade and water, and we're going to support them. But we will not tolerate lawlessness.
Was there any damage of any kind in Burke County?
There was no protesting whatsoever. Nobody showed up. We diffused the situation. I got on the phone with the person who shared the post and made it very clear to her that we were with her, but we're not going to tolerate any lawlessness, and we didn't have any issues whatsoever.
Isn't that amazing? In Columbia, in Charleston, in Atlanta, all this trouble, and in Augusta, thank God in heaven, Augusta, Burke County, Columbia County, nothing. Even in Athens, there was trouble.
You got to find there are going to be folks who want to take advantage of situations in every town. The majority of the people just want to march and be heard, and they're law-abiding citizens. You're always going to have a few who are not, but you got to find a way to mitigate that and deal with those who want to violate the law and just take it as an opportunity to take what doesn't belong to them. And we're certainly not going to have that in Burke County.
All right, got to take a break. We'll go ahead and hit that mic and head straight in the news after that. When we get done with the local news, the sheriff and I will come back. Sheriff Alfonso Williams, Burke County, giving us a little insight from a professional standpoint as to what he saw and what we can expect over the course of the next couple of days. Also, by the way, he's written a book. We'll talk about that in a few minutes as well. Sheriff Alfonso Williams from Burke County is in with us this afternoon for a little bit longer. He has written a book that is going to be out in stores, I think, a week from today, you said?
Yes.
And what's the name of the book, Sheriff?
The book is called Not Here to Be Served, and it comes from the book of Matthew, Matthew 20 and 28, where the Bible says the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And I believe in service.
Do you remember what Danny Craig told me when he introduced us about 25 years ago?
I don't remember exactly. I'm sure it was something good if it came from Judge
Craig. He said, Austin, I want you to meet Alfonso Williams. He's going to be mayor one day.
Yeah. Well,
you're much more important than the mayor. You're the sheriff of Burke County.
I don't know about that. I have no aspirations to be mayor, but it's all I can do to be sheriff, I promise you.
Well, I thought it was funny. He thought that much of you, and of course, you know, that's friendship.
I love him,
that goes
too.
Back.
Yes.
Friendship that goes back many years. So, Sheriff, you and I were talking during the break about changes that you would hope and pray at some point can come true for law enforcement of all description from coast to coast, all 50 states, and I'm with you on this, that the training and the disparity for certification is startling. And also what bugs the stew out of me, the lack of a retirement plan for law enforcement officers and, for that matter, firemen. I understand if you work for the city of Augusta, you've got something that's a little different than if you work for Burke County or Columbia County or Jefferson County. But to me, since you're a state officer, since you as the sheriff of Burke County can literally make an arrest in the Blue Ridge Mountains to Savannah if you see something happen in front of you, You ought to be covered under a state plan. You ought to have state insurance. You ought to have state pension. You ought to have state rules. And I guess technically speaking, for certification, you do. But do you think we'll ever get to that?
I think that we need to be there. I think that we need some help on a national scale to do that. I've written 7 rules that I think need to apply to police officers, and I know that it's going to be a lot of controversy behind them. Just before I came here to the studio, I was drafting a letter to send to the Georgia Association of Chiefs of Police and the Georgia Sheriff's Association outlining these 7 criteria. And I think we need to start with education. I just think we need to require a 4-year degree. And I started
to be a deputy.
To be a deputy. I started at 19. I was just out of high school. I needed some time to learn and to grow and to learn different cultures and to be around different people and to have some awareness and some diversity. And I miss that. And so you take a 19-year-old and send him into the house of a 50-year-old on a domestic situation, and he's telling the man he's got to leave his house, and he doesn't even understand what's going on. And so I think requiring a college education at least puts you in contact with other people from other cultures and other races and other diverse backgrounds and gives you some time for that. I think that's one of 7 things we can do.
In lieu of college, because not everybody can afford college and not everybody has the grades for college, what about 4 years college or 4 years of good time in the military?
Let's do like they do in Israel. I went over to Israel back in 2013 with a law enforcement delegation. Everybody has to go to the military for 2 years. I think it's an excellent way to
have no problem with that.
Discipline and understanding. But if we're going to ever professionalize our profession, and if we are sick of movements like Black Lives Matter and other movements dictating what we're going to do as police, then police need to get on top of the profession. And we're not on top. We're still reactive. We're not proactive. A police agency in the United States can decide if it wants to be certified or not. Even in Georgia, we have agencies that are state certified and nationally certified, and they won't make their officers wear body cameras. To me, it's silly. You're just asking for trouble in 2020. Does it tell the whole story? No, it doesn't. The cameras are cheap, but the agencies can't afford the cloud storage. Well, we need federal assistance to do that. It's simple, and it makes the officer behave. It protects the officer when there's a false allegation made.
By the way, on my cell phone that I carry in my pocket, I've got enough clouds or storage on this phone to keep a month's worth of video. I don't think you need much more than a month unless something's happened. You know, if something is flagged for a day, fine. Past 30 days, you really don't need it, I wouldn't think.
Right. Well, you know, when you get into police situations, they start, because of these lawyers, they start requiring 3 years of storage and that sort of thing. And it gets ridiculous in terms of the amount of time you got to keep it. And then you got to worry about appeals and that sort of thing. So,
well, no, I mean, definitely if an event occurs on a Tuesday, then Tuesday stays in the bank forever, but if nothing happened on Tuesday, then, you know, 30 days out. I'm with you, though. There's no excuse for it.
Yeah. We got to get that. We've got to get our you know, when you have some outrage like what we had on Friday or last week that was so hurtful, you ought to have every senator and congressman coming together and standing on the steps just as they did after 9/11 and denouncing that kind of behavior. Now, do I think we don't have a bunch of police out doing that? But in a situation like this, one is too many. And if it's not denounced and dealt with, you see the results that we see with all this violence and craziness and looting. We have got to denounce that sort of thing, and we've got to stand against it, and we've got to speak out against it. And if we don't deal with the small injustices, they just become bigger. And when you get one guy standing in the one corner of the ring saying, this is an outrage, but we're not going to tolerate this looting. And then you got somebody over here saying, well, if he had just complied, and we can't come in the middle and find some common ground to mitigate these circumstances, it just gets worse. Mm-hmm. And it's getting worse. I also think we have got to create some kind of federal retirement for police. It's just not there.
Yeah, I
don't
agree
even
with that
have state police, state retirement.
Yeah.
And so officers jump around from agency to agency trying to make ends meet. Whoever will give them 25 cents more an hour, they go work for them. And or we're passing around bad police who we just allow them to resign when they do something crazy over here, and then they go work over here and do the same thing, and we keep passing them around because there's a shortage, and we just don't have standards that will professionalize us enough. The state of Georgia only requires 20 hours per year to keep your arrest powers. And 404 hours to be exact, to become a certified law enforcement officer. It takes 1,500 hours for a cosmetologist.
That's crazy. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So
1,500 hours to be a barber. Wow.
1,500 hours to be a barber and 400 to be a police officer, and you get to take away a person's civil liberties. And that's why we're hated so. A doctor can make a mistake, and he's going to get sued, and they're going to get a lot of money, and it's not in public, and so nobody cares. A lawyer can misrepresent a client, and he's going to be held accountable, maybe with the bar, but nobody cares. When it's a police officer who makes a mistake or is just rogue and does something really bad, there's an outrage.
Well, generally speaking, though, the outrages tend to occur mainly when there is irrevocable damage. And obviously, Ms. Floyd isn't coming back. And that entire situation, it reminded me of the Rodney King beating to the extent of you watch the tape and you're like, okay, he was fighting back. He's down. You whacked him three times after he fell. Okay, well, that's 10 seconds worth. We'll write that off for adrenaline. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. It went on for 8 minutes with this guy. What in the world was the officer thinking? What in the hell was he thinking?
He was very comfortable. Obviously, he was not threatened, or he wouldn't have been kneeling on top of this guy with his knee in his neck with his hands in his pocket. We're taught in the police academy, if anybody's going to kill you, they're going to kill you with their hands. We certainly, if we felt like our lives are in jeopardy, we would not have our hands in our pocket. That's who wants to die with their hands in their pocket?
Did you see the movie 1917?
I did not.
Great example, and much like in Saving Private Ryan, you give the bad guy one moment's hesitation where your hands are in your pocket or you're not paying attention, you don't know where a knife's coming from, and you, zip, bang. It's that I couldn't believe it, but also couldn't believe the fellow officers were watching this and citizens were saying, hey, come on, man, give him a break, and he wasn't responding to any of it. I mean, that's sociopathic behavior to me.
It is sociopathic behavior, but it tells you that it's pervasive, that wasn't his first rodeo, that was commonplace. And I just don't understand why the other three have not been arrested.
Well, and why it took so long.
It shouldn't have taken that long.
Yeah, let me ask you a question real quick, because that maybe there are rules in Minnesota, and I actually talked Minnesota. Mike's brother lives up there still. He didn't know if there were different rules that apply. Here in the state of Georgia, if you see it happen, if you see a video of it happen, you can make that arrest, you personally, Alfonso Williams, right that second, bang. Oh, I saw you do it. You're under arrest. Tell it to the judge. What the hell is going on up there? In Minnesota, what possible law could they be looking at that require? And when the guy had the audacity to announce in 4 days, which is the fastest we've ever done anything, really? How do they handle a hostage negotiation if they think that's fast?
Yeah, I don't know the law in Minnesota. I'm not a lawyer. I don't purport to know it. All I know is probable cause in Georgia is the same as it is in Minnesota or any other state.
And it's defined by the Supreme Court of the United States.
Exactly. Yeah. We're talking about Tennessee versus Garner controls use of force for all of us.
Right.
Not just in Tennessee. So I don't know what the delay is. And the other three still have not been arrested. And I'm just as mad about the other three as I am about the EMT. Did you see the EMT who walked up to check the guy's pulse while the officer's knee was still in his neck? If that's not a violation of his oath, if he is not equally as culpable as those other three officers, if I don't understand who the governor is or what the hell he's doing, but I would have said all of them immediately. And we know.
I didn't realize the EMT did that. That's
we know,
crazy.
Austin. We know within a few minutes or an hour of being on the scene of any shooting, whether or not it's a justified shooting.
Can you hang tight 1 second? Mayor Gary Jones from Grovetown standing by on the hotline. I want to say hello to him real quick. And I'm going to – Sheriff Williams doesn't have earphones on, so I'm going to try and ride the mic here a little bit. Let's say hello to Mayor Jones. Mayor, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Austin. I just was going to pick at the sheriff there. He said he had no desire to be a mayor. I thought that was kind of funny. But I also wanted to tell all the listeners and the people that reside in Burke County, they need to listen to what Sheriff Williams has put out, because this man needs to go back into office. I'm speaking of a law enforcement professional myself of over 34 years and a mayor of the city of Grovetown. He has the pulse of the community, and he needs to go back in office. If you want to see the continued reduction in crime and the support of the sheriff's office within the community, that is the way to go.
No offense to Sheriff Whittle, but I've never known a more personally popular sheriff than Sheriff Williams here.
That's correct. I would agree.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Good to talk to you.
I just want to get that word out. All right.
Thank you. You want to say a word to your friend?
Hey, Mayor, thank you so much for your kind words. I love working with you, brother. I love you. Stay safe and be well.
And that again, people have no idea sometimes when they talk to Mayor Gary Jones that he's a 34-year law enforcement professional and currently working for the Waynesboro Police Department, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Got to take a break. We'll do that. I'll come back, wrap things up with Sheriff Alfonso Williams. His book will be out Monday officially. He'll tell you where you can find it online, though, coming up in just a second. Stay with us. Okay, all right. He is an idiot. We're talking about the guy, ladies and gentlemen, that tried to throw a firebomb at some folks in a police car in Atlanta. Did you? And I'm telling you, folks, you try and do that, the police don't appreciate it. I'm absolutely telling you. By the way, we're back. By the way, Sheriff, I'm going to ask you about something. This business of Molotov cocktails. Now, I understand you want to throw an egg at somebody. I understand you want to throw a wet roll of toilet paper at somebody. You throw a Molotov cocktail at an individual, I think an officer has a right and a responsibility to open fire on you.
I would think so. I think it's deadly force, and you have a right to protect yourself and a third party. So I would agree.
So you have, again, so many people that are choosing fireworks. And at that point, you were saying a little while ago how, you know, you try and weigh the safety of 20 officers against 200 in a crowd. But at what point do you say, you know, this is it? We're shutting you down completely. You either get off the street right now, or we literally come after you one at a time.
I think when we have lives at risk, when we have people, we have a right to protect public health as well as public safety. And I think when you've got felonious situations going on or about to develop, we need to prevent them. So that's the time to move in and take swift action.
Have you ever had a situation where you were dealing with someone that just flat out refused lawful order after lawful order after lawful order, and you had to either tase them or use pepper spray or something on them?
You bet.
And when that happens, do you have any sympathy at all for the individual later on when he's crying about having a face full of gravel or anything like that?
You get play stupid games, you get win stupid prizes. I mean, that's just the way it goes. Yeah.
Did you happen to see the video of the people in Philadelphia that had taken the police cars that had been abandoned and were using them as battering rams, pushing them in traffic in open lanes into where the officers were standing?
Right.
Again, I think you're armed at that point.
That's got to be stopped. Yeah, you cannot allow that. No time for mitigation at that point. I'm talking about trying to mitigate these situations and figure out the battles that you're going to fight. But when it gets that bad, you got to move in and take action. You can't allow that kind of lawlessness to go on.
Well, in about 3 minutes here, if we have to wrap it up, your book comes out again a week from today. And what made you decide to write a book?
I've always wanted to memorialize my history, my family's history. You know, you pass it down from one person to the other by word of mouth, and you miss something, you lose something. I've had a pretty good career. I've had some ups and downs, some twists and turns, and I wanted to put that in writing for my daughters. And I've always been a servant. I didn't always know what to call it. I just knew that I always had a desire to serve mankind. And so I've put the book together, talked about some of those things I've been through, and from finances to just cases I've worked. Mary Colley Stewart case, you'll certainly remember that.
Geez, yes.
I'm writing a second book already about that case specifically.
Really?
Yes.
But you and I need to talk. She was an acquaintance of mine. As a matter of fact, a week before she died, she was at a friend of mine's house for a birthday party. She, her husband Ware, God bless him too, were mutual friends. And, you know, so I was going through the list of the people that I've lost to homicide. And you know, I never one time was moved to loot a building or burn down a house or anything like that. Allison Holly, Mary Stewart, our friend Tommy Hammack with APD. I mean, unfortunately, the list goes.
Talk about Tommy Hammack in the book as well. We lived in the same apartment complex. In fact, after he was murdered.
Can you stick around for a minute?
Yes.
I want to talk to you about that. We'll be back. Stay with us. Sheriff Alfonso Williams, he was telling me that his first week on the job. Was it your first week on the job, the week of the flood, Sheriff?
Well, I started that August. I can't remember exactly when the floods.
October. So you've been on the job for about 6 months, or no, about a few months.
A few months.
When that happened. That's nuts. I hope you can swim well.
1990, I drove from Burke County to Augusta and made my way and got assigned to 13th and Walton Way, and flooding was everywhere. Boy, that was a tough day.
Now, I mentioned my friend Ricky Holiday, and this was a case actually that occurred before you became sheriff, and I know that you're well aware of it, before you became a deputy, rather. Allison Holly and her friend Lee Shields were cashiers at Johansson Sporting Goods on Washington Road. And yesterday, when the rally started to march down Washington Road, it started in the Hooters parking lot, and Ricky posted, excuse me, they're right there across the street from where my fiance died. And I want everybody to remember that. She never got a march. She never got a parade. She never got a protest. And the guy that killed her and her friend, who he admitted in court, killed those two young women because they could identify him. He made a conscious decision to kill them. He robbed them. He left the store and then went back into it. And said, they know who I am. I got to kill him. He's up for parole. He had a parole hearing last year. And I told Ricky, I said, Ricky, please, God, let us know if that ever happens again. And I will do everything in my power to make sure that that bastard never sees the light of day. And you mentioned Tommy Hammack a little while ago. Tommy, of course, was a longtime sergeant with the Augusta Police Department. He was probably the most beloved police officer in the entire area back in those days. He was the guy that he was a large fella. He was right on the edge of retirement. Probably could have retired back the old City of Augusta plan that he was on. He would have been living large. But he was the City of Augusta Santa Claus. And he was so good at what he did that all the municipal employees, Richmond and Columbia and City of Augusta back in those days, would use him, and he would be at their parties and everything. And matter of fact, the night that he was killed in December, I was anchoring the news that night, and when we came off the desk at 11:30, the reporter that was in the back said, Austin, there's a coroner call going out that they've got an officer down at this apartment complex. That was your apartment complex.
Damascus Woods. That's right.
And they purposely sought law enforcement officers out to live there because they had such a problem with idiots.
Yeah. After Sergeant Hammack's death, I moved there or just before his death, I'd moved there, and after he was killed, I became the security officer there for several years afterwards.
Well, you know, I'll never forget that call coming in. I'll never forget the phone call from Mark Cowan, who was the public affairs officer for APD, and you know, we were rolling to the location, 11:30, and he was choked up. He couldn't talk. And I said, Mark, you got an officer down. What's going on? And we didn't know he was dead at that until we just knew that the coroner had been called. Didn't know if an officer had shot somebody. Didn't know what. And he told me it was Tommy. And I'll never forget Jody leaning over to me and he's saying, do we have video of this guy? And I said, yeah, we have video from day before yesterday, the Christmas party. He was Santa Claus.
Wow.
And those three young men, I think two of them are out of jail. Matter of fact, all three of them may be. The ones that were implicated in his death. And again, nobody marched for him. No, nobody protested that. And it's so frustrating for law-abiding citizens who lose people they love and they care about. You see something like this go on in Minnesota, and it's heartbreaking. I feel for the family. But the good news is, thank God in heaven, we got the son of a gun that killed him. We're going to ruin his life. His life is over with. It's done. The three guys that sat back and watched, their careers, their lives are over with. Maybe 40 years from now, they'll be able to make a sermon in a church somewhere talking about where it all went wrong. But the next 40 years of their life is ruined. What do you say to the average crime victim whose family doesn't get a parade, they don't get a march, they don't get a spot on CNN?
I think it's unfortunate that some of these cases get more notoriety than others, or it takes some specific action to cause things to go national. Something as gross as what we saw in the George Floyd case, that obviously, with you know, 30 years ago, you didn't have the technology that you have today. We didn't have as many cell phones out. And so now things are being, and thank God they are, being captured on video. And we didn't have 24-hour news cycles. We didn't have Facebook. And so I'm glad we have all those mediums now to put it out there. But to those victims who had to deal with deaths and didn't get a chance to have the attention that they probably deserved, I hope that they found justice in the criminal justice system. I think in this George Floyd case, we're still waiting on justice. There's still three officers out there and an EMT that I think need to be in jail as of last week.
By the way, it just occurred to me, because you and I have been around so long, I just had three people send me a text. Who was Tommy Hammock? Tommy was a longtime sergeant with the Augusta Police Department. He literally trained 90% of the officers that went through, including Chief Freddie Lott at the time. I've never seen Chief Lott upset like that. I mean, he was inconsolable, as were people like Major Ronnie Strength back in the day and Sheriff Webster. I mean, everybody loved Tommy Hammock. And Tommy had left an Aquinas basketball game where he was the security officer. He would do it for free because, you know, you got to pay somebody, and he didn't want to charge money. They'd given him a cake because they were celebrating like the 10th year of him doing it or whatever. It was a sheet cake. He had it in the back of his SUV.
That's right.
And as he was going to get it out, he was approached by these three young men. And when they were attempting to rob him, they saw his badge. He was not in uniform. He was wearing a coat and tie. They saw his badge and they shot him.
Yes.
And no parade. I mean, they did give him a nice funeral. I'll give him that. But there's no marches in his memory. There's no demand for justice. The three young men are out of jail now. And it's crazy to me that anything like that can happen. So I guess, Sheriff, you know, I want to compliment you. There have been some tragic cases in Burke County since you've been elected. And I know personally that you've spoken with victims' families. I know that. I've seen it. I've heard about it. I've had the families reach out to me. I know Sheriff Whittle has personally visited with the families of homicide victims. I know that he's been there for them. I know that the department in Columbia County has offered counseling. They've done everything they can. They make sure that the community comes around people. Is that what's lacking in places like Brunswick? Is that what's lacking in places like Minnesota? Is it a lack of empathy at the top that you have a problem with? Does that, you know, trickle down to the rest of the men? I'm just curious about this.
I really think it really comes down to whether or not you're in this business to be a servant of the people, or if you're in it to be served. And not to go back to the book, but that's what it's all about. Either you're a servant leader or you're not. I don't think you learn it in a leadership school. I think it's got to be something that's within you. And if you're a servant leader, you'll take care of those kinds of things. You won't get too big. You won't be too busy to do the job that you've been hired to do. And I think that's what it boils down to. And in the situation like what happened in Minnesota, I just think that behavior has been left unchecked for so long. And it just becomes a norm. And not for everybody. But when you have one death, that's too many. And that individual, I'd never believe in 100 years that was his first time doing something like that. You just don't do that for the first time.
I had a friend of mine mention to me not too long ago about Clay Whittle. And I'm not gonna challenge Sheriff on this because he's got a lot of men working for him. He swore up and down that Sheriff Whittle could name every single officer that worked for him. I know you can. I know you know the names of every officer that works for you. When we get to a department that's bigger than that, when we get to a department that's got more than 100 men, more than 200 men, more than 300 men, is it a manageable department? Does it become a military unit at that point? New York City's got 41,000.
Well, obviously, if you're that big, you won't know everybody, but you'll remember Sheriff Webster.
Absolutely.
I worked for Augusta Police and then for Sheriff Webster after consolidation. He made you feel like he knew you personally, whether he did or not. He smiled. He took time to talk to you and to shake your hand. I have 135 employees, and yes, I can name every single one of them by name, but I talk to them in the hallways every day. I speak to them. They can come and go. The door is open, and they can call my cell phone. They can text me. If I had 600, I'd do the same thing. Maybe I wouldn't know them all by name, but it's a part of service and being approachable and being helping them feel valued and respected. And if you'll do those things, it makes it a whole lot easier than the reverse.
Well, you know, Sheriff Whittle's got family here in the area his entire life, and he'll tell you in a heartbeat that this is his family.
Right.
And I've heard him say it before. And right. You feel that way about Burke County.
Yes.
You know, when you get to a police department the size of New York or even a Minneapolis department, it oftentimes is impossible to have a hometown person. And think back, the Augusta Police Department, your last chief was from Tampa, for pizza,
that's
Austin
right.
McLean.
That's right.
Do you think it loses something when – you know, they import leadership from out of town like that?
Obviously, you won't know everybody. You don't have roots in the community. It becomes more of a bureaucratic process. You're working for 10 council persons, and you're trying to please them, and you're just not as concerned about what the guy at the bottom thinks. And I think that's where we go wrong.
Do you think because of that, the sheriff's department, I'll save this for you when you come back from the commercial. I'm going to ask him if the sheriff's department is a superior law enforcement mechanism than a police department for that very reason. We'll be back. Stay with us. Sheriff Alfonso Williams wrapping up a visit with us this afternoon. Sheriff, do you think that we maybe need to start getting away from, and there's some people that say, get all the politics out of law enforcement and go to a police department model versus a sheriff's department model. But it seems to me what has hurt law enforcement in most major cities is, in fact, a multi-layered bureaucracy that answers to a mayor and a city council. I know that Augusta Police Department used to have trouble with that. You know that. You were in that department. Lord have mercy. Have you seen the news out of New York today? The daughter of Bill de Blasio was standing in the street throwing bricks at law enforcement officers. And the order went out Friday that they were not to use force and that they were not allowed to be on horseback. You know as well as I do, you get a bunch of horseback guys out there, that crowd responds much differently around those horses.
I think that politics are too involved, obviously. And as a sheriff, politics are going to be involved. But you care much more about the people.
But you answer directly to the voters. You don't answer to anybody else. And you can arrest the county commission chairman if you have to.
Yes, yes.
He's not your boss.
That's exactly right. So, and I think that in one of my proposals to the Georgia Sheriff's Association, the Georgia Association of Chiefs of Police, I stopped just shy of saying that we need to get rid of police chiefs and just have elected officials. At least the constituency get to decide every 4 years whether or not you're doing a good job.
Right.
And we don't answer to some city council who has an ulterior motive.
And by the way, if you've got a good mayor in place and a good city council, then it's not a problem. I've never seen it too much of a problem around here. There have been a couple of instances here and there. But for the most part, the smaller departments do well. City of Grovetown does well. City of Waynesboro does well for the most part. You just have to be careful about mayors and city councils having too much power over those departments.
It's the reason we have federal judges have lifetime appointments, to get away from the politics, to get away from being bought out, to get away from worrying about the bureaucracy and the politics of it all. And I think we need more of that. And if we had more of that, we wouldn't have. You remember the situation in New York just a few months ago when they threw the water on the officer and they just basically turned their backs and allowed it to happen. I just can't imagine that sort of thing happening in Burke County or Columbia County. We just wouldn't tolerate that. But they were told to stand down, and that's just from some
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. The officers literally had to stand there and be drenched with water.
Silly. I think I'd quit before I worked for an agency that would allow something like that.
That's insane.
You just got to take a stand.
Sheriff Williams' book comes out next week. You can find out how to get copies of it on your website, which is
sheriffalfonso.com.
Sheriff Alfonso, which is spelled with an F. Right?
A-L-F-O-N-Z-O.
Okay. Because sadly, there are several ways to spell that.
That's right.
That's the American spelling of Alfonso, not the Italian spelling of Alfonso.
That's right. SheriffAlfonso.com. We'd love to have. Thanks for having us.
Always a pleasure. And again, I got you on the hook for filling in for me next time I'm on vacation.
I'd love to do it. Thank you so much.
All the help we can get. Thank you. Sheriff Alfonso Williams, we'll take a break. I'll be back. Get to your phone calls. And again, incredible weekend. We'll chew over a little bit what went on. And again, I'm very, very proud of the folks in Augusta. I cannot stress that enough. Good behavior, great conversation, and that's what we needed. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's News Talk and Information Station, WGAC, at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.